This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, your Q, presented by Premier Insurance Group. Here is Shannon Sebastian with your Q on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to your Q. This is Shannon Sebastian, and I am just thrilled to be here today. It's always fun to come into the studio and have wonderful people from our community join us. So, we've had some different weather lately. The rain, we just really needed it, and the fires and for everything. And then now the nice, beautiful day. So I'm really grateful because we have cattle. And so our cattle are absolutely loving the rain and the new little sprouts of green that are happening in our pasture. So for that, I'm really grateful. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. And we have a couple different guests today, so we're going to kind of get started because I definitely don't want to leave anybody short on time and make sure everybody gets out what they would like to say today. So with me here today, I have three wonderful young individuals who are representing the Glide FFA program, and that is Hannah. Hannah, welcome.
Hi.
All right, and we have Olivia. Welcome.
Hi.
And Jack.
Hi.
Hello. So I want to learn a little bit about each of you. So can you tell me your grade? And I know you guys are all from Glide FFA, but does everybody attend Glide? So.
So my name is Jack. I'm a senior at Glide High School, and this is my last year in FFA.
I'm Hannah. I attend Glide Virtual Academy, and this is my second to last year in Glide FFA because I'm a junior.
Hi, I'm Olivia McCurdy. I'm a member of the Glide FFA chapter, and this is my last year in FFA. I'm a senior.
So when you graduate, you're done with FFA?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Actually, you don't have to be, because then you can become a mentor or all kinds
exactly.
of things. Because
yep.
just because you're done doesn't mean you can't pass forward the knowledge that you've done. We know this because one of our beloveds, Kaylee Powell, had been in FFA for years, and now she's going to be helping out or in charge of the Roseburg one. So we know this. You can be in the program, learn so much, and then go on and share your knowledge with others. So that's really a great thing. So we don't have to say we're done. You're moving to the next phase. So you guys are all really lucky and excited because you have been, I don't know how you say, you have won your way to nationals on FFA. So is it all in the same categories? Is there different categories? I'm going to let you start down here, Hannah, and tell us what categories and things you guys are going in.
So Glide this year didn't actually get the chance to compete in any national CDEs, which are career development events. We are going to observe and hopefully make it next year. So we're just going to have some fun and do some educational and exciting FFA things.
So they do like workshops there, and you can still go and learn even though you're not competing per se.
Yeah, so we'll have educational tours and workshops. So we'll have like leadership development where we'll learn to be better public speakers, or an educational tour about how to feed certain animals even though we're not competing.
Got you. And so when are you guys traveling? When is Nationals and where is it?
Nationals is in Indianapolis, and we are leaving October 24th, and we are actually getting back Halloween, which is October 31st. So we get to spend that whole week doing leadership events, educational and career success tours, and just really bettering ourselves as individuals and being able to come back and better our chapter and community.
See, that's what it's about. Not about graduating and being done. Here we go. So one of the things is, This has to cost money. So you guys have already been fundraising. Tell us about some of the events that you do throughout the year to fundraise.
Yeah, so throughout the years, we do a few fundraising events like our plant sale. And one of our main events is actually our alumni auction. But sadly, from the last 2 years of COVID and schools being shut down, we haven't been able to have our big alumni auction at Glide, which has really just been not a lot of help because that's one of our main fundraisers we use to fund all of our competitions through the year.
So with not being able to have that, then your fund's a little bit depleted. And
yes, exactly.
So, yeah, and you definitely don't want to wipe it out. So we're going to touch back on that here in a little bit. I understand that, I don't even know how, from talking to you guys before the show, we chatted a little bit. It sounds like there's so many things to do. Like, I don't know how one can sleep while you guys are there. Have any of you been before?
No, none of us have been to National Convention yet. But we have, I think all of us have been to our state expo or whatever, where we go and it's a big, every chapter from Oregon kind of goes, it's in Redmond, and we go and we have it's like a 3-day event where it's the same leadership and everything. The only difference is when we go to Nationals, it's FFA members from all around the United States and different schools, and it's just a huge event compared to ours in the state level.
That is just such a wonderful opportunity. You guys are going to have to come back on and tell us everything you learned when you get back. One of the things that I'd also like to mention is that you guys do so much in the community and put so much time and effort into your animals. What kind of animals do every one of you raise animals?
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
tell us what you got.
I do steers. I raise market steers. And then I have my own independent herd where when I was in the fourth grade, I bought my first cow. And then I've been breeding cows, and now I'm able to take my own steer from one of my cows to fair this year.
Oh, that is amazing. Yeah, you should really take a lot of pride in that, and I hope that you do, because that's pretty amazing. Fourth grade, I mean, cows, you got to show them who's boss sometimes when you're talking 12, 14, 1600 pounds, so good for you. That's excellent. Olivia?
Yeah, I've been raising hogs since I was in fourth grade through the 4-H and FFA program, and it's my senior year, so I just wanted to try something new, and I'm actually doing a steer this year, so I feel like that fourth grader trying to not be nervous around the cows.
I always think it's interesting when you go to watch them show and the steers, it's like, okay, I did pigs, you know, growing up, and my kids did too, and were in the swine, and it's just so way different. You just wash them and you clip them and try to keep them looking nice. And the cows, it's like, oh, I got to brush their tails and make them look perfect. And oh, it's just, it seems so much more to me.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of work throughout the year too, starting in October, September when you get your steers and then all the way around till fair.
Yeah, that's a big commitment. But I think that's why FFA and 4-H, you know, programs like that are so important, because it teaches kids, it's like, you can't just pick up a sport and then decide a week or two in, I don't want it. It's like, this is a living, breathing creature that needs care and attention and fed and watered, and you have to see it through. And so that's what I love about the programs, is all the things that it teaches you that maybe don't even have to do with the country living side of it, but more the morals, ethics, and values of what the programs offer, you know, and the work ethic that people come out of those programs have later in life. I would hire somebody that's FFA or 4-H background, just because a lot of times they're just going to have a great work ethic. So kudos for being in the program. And so, Hannah, what do you raise?
I showed sheep all through elementary school, and in the past 3 years, I made the switch to market swine. So I've been showing them, and I show market swine so that I can afford my actual hobby, which is I raise and breed quarter horses and train them.
That's not cheap.
No.
It's funny, we just had a conversation. I wasn't even part of it in the office today, but I'm like, do I need to talk about horses today? So the fact you brought it up, my coworkers are probably cracking up right now that horses even got brought up on this show. So I think that's great, but that is a very expensive habit. That was one of the things we were talking about. Okay, so I know, I feel like all of you have to have really supportive families to also do what you do. So can we give a shout out to all your parents or your grandparents or whoever your support network is? Because you didn't get here in these seats going to Nationals and raising these animals on your own. So tell us who's your support people in your life.
Yeah, I want to give a huge thank you to John and Julie Quimby, who are my parents. They have done so much for me, and I just recently got my license in the last year. So up until then, they were hauling me places late at night, and they just do so much to help me out in what I do, and I really am thankful for that.
I'm super thankful for my parents, Scott and Corey McCurdy. Same thing. I got my license 2 years ago, and before then, since I lived in town, I was getting driven out to my hogs every morning and night to work with them, driven to school, and being able to be here today, I wouldn't be here without them.
And Jack?
I'd like to thank my parents, Jeff and Karma Mornrich. They've been just a huge help to me financially, and then also just other kids throughout other chapters. They just help so much. I'm so thankful.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, and some of your parents I know, but it sounds like y'all have an amazing support system and amazing families. And being a parent myself, that's important. I hope your parents are listening. I hope they hear that sincerity, because that was very sincere and kind and loving. So you guys are just a great group. I always cry. Okay, so we talked about when you guys are leaving, but there's activities that you can do while you're back there as well. I know you talked about the classes and the educational side of it, but I'm hoping that you'd have some fun while you're out there. So what are some of the fun non-educational events you might be able to do?
So we haven't specifically picked exactly what we want to do yet, but we have a list about 10 or 20 items of what we could possibly do. And for me, my personal favorite would be being able to go and look at Indianapolis, the motor speedway that they have there. That'd be a super cool thing I could go and see and visit while in there.
So when you guys are deciding what you're doing, do you have to rock, paper, scissors it out as a group? Or because the whole group would go do those activities, you're not separating out to these 20 different activities?
Well, throughout this week, we're going to so many different activities, so we could probably go to 19 out of these 20 activities. Our week is definitely jam-packed, and so being able to decide as a group, whatever we do, it's going to be fun, and we're going to learn a lot from it and come back with a lot of amazing memories.
And I know I have three of you, but there's 9, did you tell me earlier?
There's going to be 10 students from Glide going, and then there's 2 advisors that are going to come along with us to make sure we're good and keep us in line.
I like that very much. Got to keep that. But you're representing, you know, with Douglas County, so you'll be good. And there's a good possibility with some of you being seniors that maybe you'll end up meeting somebody that is going to possibly attend the same college or university that you're doing. I mean, the networking that you can do while you're back there is invaluable as well. So I just think this is a wonderful opportunity for all of you. And I definitely do want to have you back, like I said, and hear what you have to do. So, all right, well, we are going to take a break here in just a second, and we'll be back. This is Shannon Sebastian with Your Q on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right. Welcome back. We're just sitting here talking, and I'm like, oh, I hear the music going. We should probably jump back on here and do the show. It's just so fun talking to the kids. So we're having a good time here. So one of the things that we were talking about during the break was the fact that you may not be competing when you go back to nationals, but you guys have competed this year. And so there's districts, there's state, and then this will be the national level that you're going to. But tell us what you guys have competed in, or what all kind of categories they are, and maybe what you like the best to do or compete in.
Yeah, so this year we had a few competitions get closed down due to COVID, but my two top favorite that we did was Vet Science, which is where you get a team of 4 or 5 people, and you go and you do different experiences. So there's like one where you have to administer a shot to a dog the correct way, or there's just different groups and categories for that competition, and you're judged on it and placed as a team. I think we got 3rd for the district as Glide. And then we had my other competition that I did was tractor driving, and me and another student from Glide, Josh Hulse, we got 1st and 2nd here at the district. And then since we qualified to go to state, and we went up to the state fair for one morning before the fair started, and there was all kids from every district around Oregon, that the top 2. And then I was lucky enough to win the state tractor driving.
Oh,
and
congratulations.
I could have qualified. Yeah, thank you. I could have qualified for nationals, but I was unable to because they don't provide tractor driving as a national competition.
Okay, so I have a quick question on that before we move on to the girls. Sorry here. So when you go and you compete, does everybody have to drive the same tractor? Is it, I just feel like that's like a even playing field.
Yeah, so what there is there's usually six or seven different tractors with different courses. So one is like you go and you take your tractor and you hook it up to a 5-point and then you go and back it in, park it, or a trailer maneuver. So yeah, so you just do a different variety of obstacle courses with the tractor and then it's judged by different judges.
Awesome. So now we know we can call Jack. And he's going to come move our trailers and move all of our stuff for a donation to the Glide FFA chapter. That sounds exciting. Okay, how about you, Hannah?
I compete in a lot of competitions. Probably my favorites so far have been Vet Science. I actually competed on the team with Jack, and we got the opportunity to go to state and compete there as well. And then I also really like extemporaneous public speaking, which is basically you draw a topic approximately an hour to 30 minutes before you have to present it, and you have to write a speech in that period of time and then present it. And those are my two favorite. I had the opportunity to compete at sectionals with extemporaneous, which is in between that district and state level.
Well, congratulations. That's fun. And it's very brave of you to pick your categories there, because it is hard to just like, hey, you're going to talk about cheese and we'll see you in 30 minutes. My husband could talk about cheese for like 5 hours. So for him, it wouldn't be a problem, but just kidding. And Olivia, tell us about you.
Yeah, my favorites would have to be job interview, where you create your own resume and job you're applying for, and you're able to actually practice your interview skills in front of a panel of judges in that job interview setting. And I mean, I really like interviewing, and so being able to do that is pretty fun. And I also like agricultural sales, where you pick your own product, or you can make a product, or find a product online, and you create your sales pitch for it. You create your logo and your website, and you try and sell this product using the different levels of sales and try and sell it to the judges.
So, and that's its own separate category?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you bring your product and then you go into Shark Tank. I love Shark Tank on TV.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Oh, gosh. I didn't do FFA in school, but now I'm like, I missed out on some things. This is right in my alley. Okay, so you're doing these activities, which obviously you're putting effort and time in, you know, with your tractor driving, you know, time in and all that, and also doing your fundraisers. So this is quite an extracurricular activity. Then do any of you do another extracurricular activity, or does this pretty much take up most of your time?
No, so this is, I do, other than FFA, I also compete in football and wrestling and track.
Oh,
and
goodness, you're busy.
Yeah, so very busy. And then another option that we, most FFA members, you have a SAE or a CDE, which is, it's a career development event. So, like, my cattle herd is considered a way of preparing for the future, and then we enter all of our hours in. And so there's actually contests through the state, too, of how good your record books are and everything. So, like, I work on a ranch in the summertime, and I put my hours in and describe what I do in pictures and everything. And that, it helps, give me experience for my future and what I might want to do in the future as well.
Excellent. So that's going to kind of segue me to the next little question I have for you guys is, I talked about all the great things that can come from participating in a program like this, but I'd really love to hear from each of you, what have you guys actually taken away from this? What has your 4-H experience done for you? Who wants to start me off here? Olivia.
Well, I started out just raising hogs through 4-H, and when I came into the FFA program, I realized it was a whole lot more. It's not only about raising animals or doing your SAE and growing plants, but being able to be that leader in your community, and that's actually portrayed out into what I want to do for my career, which is be an ag teacher.
And I completely see you doing that. How about Hannah?
Playing off what Olivia said, you know, FFA helps you grow as a leader so much. I started off FFA as kind of a shy little kid who would never have talked in front of 4 people in a room over the radio. And FFA and doing the public speaking events has helped me grow so much to be able to do stuff like this. And that's just so much fun. And I don't do a lot of sports. FFA is basically what my life orbits around. So it's giving me something to do in high school to expand my high school experience.
And you plan on staying in with the horses, I'm assuming, because somebody that's into horses, you just don't give that up. Like, that's a lifestyle, too. So I imagine you're going to continue on after school?
Yeah, I actually want to go to school in an equine science major and get into, like, equine reproduction and become a repro vet for equine.
That's amazing. And Jack?
Yeah, so one of my greatest takeaways from FFA has been able to public speak and talk to a group of people without really getting super nervous or having any worries. It's really helped me as a person grow into a leader, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I feel like normal teenage kids might be, I was teasing the kids before the show, I'm going to go way back and just say, okay, you kids are like good to go and we're ready for the show and you're not even taking 1,000 selfies, because a lot of people that come in here take selfies, but they're just coming in professional, ready to go talk about their program and are proud to do so. So it's like some wonderful young individuals in this room. One thing we want to touch on, because we have just a little bit of time left too, is you guys really do need some community support here. I know we talked about your alumni dinner isn't until December, which you guys are obviously going back there then, and that money helps you go to nationals or to go to these events and helps, you know, you be able to have these wonderful opportunities. But with that happening afterwards, you know, you really kind of want to raise some of your own money, and I know you've done certain things, but how can the community help if people are out there listening and their heartstrings are being tugged at to help the three of you in here, and you know, the seven that aren't here today? Let us know how we can do that.
Yeah, of course. Being juniors and seniors in high school, and I mean, all of us driving, we realize now that everything costs money. So being able to have a lot of community support with this would be really great. We have different prices for like our hotel, plane tickets, registration for the conference, and then all of the educational and entertainment tours we want to go on. Some community support we can get from that is by getting donations towards our Glide FFA chapter. And you can do that by mailing a check to Glide High School, made out to the Glide FFA chapter. And you can mail it to the high school, which is at 18990 North Umpqua Highway, Glide 97443.
Okay. And I'm also going to put this on my Facebook for the radio station. I'll post on Facebook where they can also send some donations too. So I'll reiterate that on the Your Q Facebook page. But you know, you guys are just such a worthwhile cause. I mean, it's so nice, and I love it. You know, having been involved in pageant for 20 some years, you know, as a director, I would always tell people when they would come and judge or something, what you're going to get out of it is the fact that you're going to know that there is great children coming up, and that there are youth today is some of the amazing young individuals will renew your soul and your spirit and your faith. And so I truthfully, being in the room with you guys, I'm really honored. So thank you for coming today and being here and educating us a little bit.
Thank you so much.
On the FFA program. This has just been really delightful.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah,
we're really thankful for this opportunity to come and speak with you and to speak to our community about not only the Glide FFA chapter and what we're doing as a chapter, but FFA as a whole. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so. Tell me, and thank you guys for coming. Tell me how many. Do you guys have an idea of how many FFA people will be at this national convention? A lot.
There's
a lot.
It's
yeah,
huge.
It's
yeah,
huge.
You guys haven't gone before, so you
no,
probably.
No, but there's a lot of people that go.
Yeah, we fill up a stadium with our blue and gold jackets. You look around and it's a sea of blue corduroy and people who want to better themselves. And
yeah.
So I
feel see, like you guys are famous for the blue. I told the kids when they got here, it's like, I wore blue for y'all today. So this outfit was purposeful. Just because I was like, Glide's coming on. FFA chapter, got to wear a blue.
Yep.
You always think of the blue and the gold. But, well, I just think what you guys are doing is great. Jack, you inspire me to go out and do better driving tractor or even pulling up to my trailer when we're going to haul cattle. I'm going to be like, all right, maybe I need to time myself like a little pit crew or something, put some pep in my step. So, and I just admire the different aspects you all kind of had different things that you had chosen that intrigued you or interested you that you chose to compete in at, you know, locals, district, national, state, whatever. And so it's just nice to see the variety of what you guys are interested in and the diversity of the animals that you have and all of that. Do you have anybody, quick, one of the last questions I have here before we go. Can anybody get involved? Like, how can you encourage some youth to get involved in FFA? Because we'd be remiss if we didn't share how somebody could become part of this wonderful program.
Yeah, of course. A bill got passed a few years ago where every student in an ag class is eligible to be an FFA. And so being able to talk to your counselors and teachers and see if you can get into an agriculture class, whatever school you're at, you can be a part of this amazing program too.
And that, so have, when you guys got into ninth grade, did you all start?
Or? Yeah, so that was your first, our first high school ag class. I took Ag 1, and since then I've taken more classes like Vet Science and then Ag Mechanics, where you can learn with metal shop, wood shop, and every class that you're in, you're qualify you for an ag, for being an FFA.
And I was lucky because me coming into high school, Glide had actually established a middle school FFA chapter, which was one of the first schools in our county to do so. So I actually got to do ag and FFA in my eighth grade year as well.
That's excellent. I didn't know that. So I learned something new there today. Well, thank you all for being here today. I hope you safe travels. I hope you many blessings from the community. Please, I know I'll be sending something or giving Olivia something and sending it my way because I absolutely want to support this. My husband and I just, we love our cattle. Everybody makes fun of us because they're all named and I know what's happening down the road, but I still name them all. And I don't care. But it was wonderful to have you here again. Thank you so much. And that's it for us with the FFA kids today. We're going to be back in just a moment. This is Shannon Sebastian with Your Cue, sponsored by Premier Insurance.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Shannon Sebastian in the studio, and our lovely FFA kiddos have just headed out, and I have our second guest for today. So this is Dawn, and Dawn is here. She is one of the founders and the practice manager and coordinator for the Love of Paws, which is an income-based veterinary clinic located over on Mosier Avenue, which is where we're at, and they are our neighbors.
Yay. So
yay, Mosier Avenue neighbors.
Yes.
And we get to see the pups and the kitties coming in and out and in and out, and it's kind of fun. So we enjoy having the clinic across the street. It makes the day just a little bit brighter. So thank you for being here, and I know you are so swamped, so really thank you for taking time out of your busy day to run down here.
No, we appreciate the community too, so we want to be here for everybody as much as we can.
Well, and you guys are busy.
Yes.
And COVID has been a challenge for everybody, but the vets, it seems like a lot too, because people are always waiting in their cars or their parking lots or outside and things like that at all of the vets that we see. So
yes,
it's been kind of
thank you to all those vets in our town.
Thank you to everybody making it through this. That's essential.
Exactly.
So before we get into the event that you're here to talk about, just give me a little bit of the background of the Love of Paws. So I know you were one of the starting founders, I think you said back in 2015 roughly.
Yes.
And so now you're open and going and busy, and so how did we get from 2015 to the chaos known that we know now?
Gosh, I don't know where the time went. 2015, we decided we wanted more of a sliding scale in what we were doing at that time, and we wanted to be able to be there for everybody. We didn't want to have to lose our clients. And then the big thing was adding our veterans program. So there was a team of us as founders who decided this is still our mission and we need to go forward, including the doctor we had on staff at that time, Dr. Frack. He is awesome. And we basically took it and started having meetings back then and forming it. And then I was walking the grounds trying to find a building. And at that time, as a nonprofit, you don't have a lot of funds and you're just trying to find that what will work best for us. So we found that little space with a little note in the window saying maybe selling, you're not sure. And it was awesome because we were able to get in there and still keep the gentleman in the building that we had for enough time for him to keep going and or retire out. And that worked out beautifully. We didn't know how it would go, but we opened our doors and we haven't stopped, which is awesome. We appreciate it. But it does, like you've heard the saying before, take a village to raise a child. It takes a community to help out. And it's more the animals in need. And not only, we try not to focus, we try to educate more people. And one of our big policies is to spay and neuter because it does cause possible problems on down the line if they're not. So that was, we wanted to give back to our community. So we formed our board and we got our 501c3 approved and we got our building. And we have, which is our sliding scale. So you don't ever have to leave us. And you got to keep in mind that with the sliding scale, you're helping many different people. You're either that family have a pet that couldn't really afford a pet, or that family, the, you know, a single person on their own, elderly, who that's their companion, you know, in their household. And it's those are usually smaller dogs. And those smaller dogs, and they just don't know that, are in need of dentals, you know, more often than people really realize. So what how he started was really educating, trying to educate people what animals need. We were getting out there and doing different pop-up stands just on mouse and dentals, you know. And that's the importance is if you don't know, you don't know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you go to the vet, you're getting hit with all this other stuff that we really want to be able to sit back and educate and take our time and go step by step. So we like to have that sliding scale in place to make those things affordable for people. And then at the beginning, people are like, well, can I go there? I'm not looking for a discount. And it's just getting to know who we are. Mm-hmm. And yes, we do. We'll take everybody and anybody as long as they agree to spay and neuter their animal. And then we help. We're a regular veterinarian in a hospital. We don't have 24-hour service. And that's my next goal. Give me a few more years here. Who knows? But that is in need also. But we're there to educate people and give services at an income base for people in need. The other thing is our veterans program. We quite a few of us who work there are either spouses or prior military. One of our doctors, Dr. Frack, our head doctor, he is prior military. We just like to give with our large VA here in town. Mm-hmm. I was a spouse over 21 years, a veteran, and we want to give to our service members basically a thank you for being there and through whatever they had gone through. So our veterans program, we actually added to what we wanted to bring to our community. And they get not only their 10% off, but they get 2 wellness exams a year per household. So we have, I want to say, almost 4,000 clients. Mm-hmm. And out of that, I think there's a number about on that 200? Paper. Yeah, our 200 veterans. And then there's how much money I think we did to them just this year. Was that on there? I pulled some numbers.
For the Love of Paws has offered $119,500 in assistance since the first year of those families in need.
So that's how much we've already given to those families. And that's just the veterans.
Which is amazing.
That's not including our little designated credit we have stashed away for people in need, or our discounts, our sliding scale discounts. That's just probably those veterans' exams for that period of time. And people don't realize that we do that. We also, Dr. Frack has done the stand down at the VA. That is where all the veterans are invited in for free services. We take a booth out there. We do more than just vaccinations and exams. We take antibiotics out there. And of course, with COVID, it's been a little different. We're waiting to do that again. But he's been doing that over the last 8 years or 10 years.
That's amazing. You know? I didn't know that you did that for the veterans. And
yeah.
It completely makes sense to me now because of the mural.
Yes.
I'm like, how did I not know that? I look at that mural every day and I wonder what the connection was.
So that's now your connection. The mural
is... Bless you for enlightening me.
Yes. And we actually take care of... There's Lola... I can't remember the kitty's name. I don't always get to see them. There's a dog and a cat that live on the VA grounds, and we take care of them for the VA too.
Oh,
we take all their medical expenses and food. We feed them. We want to make sure those companions are there for the veterans that are living on the grounds there or in the hospital.
It's just amazing what animals can do for healing and for your soul and for your spirit. I mean, it's just so...
And going through all these rocky times, they're very important.
So therapeutic.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to get to, because you can't do all of these wonderful things without money and without...
Right.
Holding events such as this.
Right.
So it's so you have your flyer here, which is Come Celebrate Molly's 10th Birthday.
Uh-huh.
And this is a fundraiser event and raffle. Tell us a little bit about that. And if you don't mind, who is this named after? Who is the Molly? I have to
know. So Molly is actually one of our veteran clients' dog. And she had came to us and said, I want to do a fundraiser to raise money for you. It's amazing what you guys do for the community and for the veterans. I need to do something for you. She's been on different boards and different fundraisers. Mm-hmm. And she goes, this is my need for this year. This is where I'm going in this direction. Her dog's name is Molly, just happens, So we said, okay. And then as the committee kind of formed and different things, we're doing a little fun dog event. We're doing we're going to have music at Looking Glass Brewery, different musicians. We're going to have dog toys. It's all dog related. You want to bring your dogs. We're going to send out birthday invitations to our clients who have dogs. And anybody's welcome, though. It's basically just a dog fun day. I'm sure we're going to have hot dogs to eat. And there'll be a Molly beer. And all that good stuff. We are also doing, that's October 23rd at Looking Glass Brewery. And I believe 11 to 5 is what the flyer, yes. And we'll get more details out at what time, as it gets closer, of what time we're doing each thing. And they could always go to our website. It will be posted there. And that's ftlop.org to get to that website. We will post details as we go there. We'll put it out on Facebook. We're doing a silent auction. We'll probably go live and do the silent auction live, kind of like Saving Grace did. And that's the thing. We're not only here in our community for the people. We actually help, along with Umpqua Humane Society, we help Saving Grace when they're in need. We help New Beginnings. We help the Wildlife Sanctuary. We are their vet in town at discounted prices. So we try to get our local nonprofits who need help from us to what they need also at better prices or anything.
That's absolutely amazing. And I love on here it says dog costume contest, dog games, silent auction. When I first looked at it, I thought, okay, well, events, we're always going to fundraising events or charity events or whatever like that. But this one is encouraging you to bring your animals. So that would be really fun, and make sure that everybody has their animal that's socialized and well-behaved.
Yes, and on a leash.
Yes.
And or, how their animal needs to behave in public. Yes, we do want the dogs out there. Looking Glass Brewery is dog friendly. And of course, some people even bring their cats on a leash. But you want to make sure they're exposed to outside and or other dogs and different things to have that happen. We will have, of course, Dr. Frack and other our other doctor probably there, Dr. Aaron, not for services, but just in case. We don't want anything, to go array. But yes, we want the animals to come out. We do have prizes for the contest, the costume contest. And actually, Canine Crack is going to be there selling her, Georgie, she's going to be selling her Canine Crack. Good Dog Bones is going to stop on by. And we have Wolfstock. Yes. Wolfstock, who is out of Sutherland, and we do a little clinic there for them. They're coming to host quite a few of the games.
Oh,
yeah, so we actually have doggy games coming, too.
So with this event that you hold, how I know it's got the silent auction and the raffles. Is there other ways to raise money or to donate?
Actually, anybody can come by. They're welcome to meet us at any time and see who we are if they're interested in donating. A huge thing with a nonprofit is getting those families who really want to give to another family in need for their animals. So if they need to, if they would like to find out more about us, we'll be out there. I'm going to try to be at the farmer's market and spread our word a little bit more. But we will always, you could go to our webpage and donate on our webpage. And you could always put in there what you want to donate for. If you want it to go for a family in need, or if you want us just to give your name, you give us our name and phone number. And when we have a case that is needing something to connect with you, we always need families to help support mm-hmm. other family animals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I have a story for you when we come back. So we'll be back in just a moment. This is Shannon Sebastian and with Dawn from the Love of Paws here, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back. Thank you. Sorry, we went a little bit long last time, so. welcome back. I have Dawn here with For the Love of Paws. And Dawn, thank you for sharing so much about how you guys got started and what you're all about and the Molly's event coming up, which is October 23rd at Looking Glass Brewery. Fun, bring your dogs, costume contest, games, just
music.
A great fundraiser so you guys can really help those people in need that we've talked about. So one of the things that I wanted to share is that my son and daughter-in-law a couple years ago, I think it's been right over a year, they had a new to them pup that they had maybe about a year. And so my daughter-in-law, this was her baby, and he got a hold of a corn cob. And the expense of those vet bills was well five figures. And luckily they were able to do that. But that realization did dawn on my son. And he's like, Mom, a lot of people would have had to have put the dog down. And I said, yeah. And I don't know if, I could have even done that in that situation, which was really sad and scary to have just such a beautiful, wonderful puppy just have a freak incident. You don't realize how high they can climb, jump, or go sometimes until they do it. And so they had mentioned this exact scenario where if somebody called me and said, I'm in need, or here's this situation, that, they would be willing to bless somebody. So I like that idea that you offered up about, calling in and maybe being on a list where people could call or email out and mm-hmm. share a story in privacy.
Yes.
People need to respect that situation and, be able to decide if that's something that, they want to
donate towards.
Give to
another person for their companion that they are in need and they financially can't, or they need a little bit more help to get through it. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I think that everybody's heartstrings are tugged differently.
Oh, yes.
I know on our show, we are really supportive of veterans. That's just one of our very patriotic and very appreciative for everyone's service. So I know for us in our world, that would be something that would, you know, tug on our heartstrings and we'd be interested in.
Yes.
You know, helping out with. So please, if somebody's interested, can they call?
They could call the clinic.
Okay.
And they could ask for me if they wanted more details, and or they could leave their name and number and say, can I be put on the list as a phone number to call if in need, an animal in need, and the owner just isn't there or just doesn't have enough or needs a little bit more boost that way. We could talk about it and discuss it in private. I don't like putting it out on the website and different things
right.
with the different cases. And like you said, it's the privacy. It's very, you know, humbling to be able to have to go through and make decisions that way. It's hard.
Right, right.
So we want to be able to be there. We don't like to have to put anything down that we don't do that. You just really want to help and save.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's where the fundraiser is for us and our veterans, just to put right back into the community or to give us tools to do that. And our grand prize, real quick, we did not do that, is Swing from the Vines. They've been awesome. They actually give part of their donations from their tours and donate that. Swing from the Vines is a local wine and brewery tours, or just transport for weddings, two party buses. I actually am owner of that, on top of being co-founder of the For the Love of Paws. But we want to get donate out. We want people safe when they are in events and drinking and driving. We want to get them around to our wineries. So Swing from the Vines is doing a top raffle prize, $20 a ticket. I hope to be at the farmer's market this weekend selling those.
That's excellent.
Thank
All right,
you.
Everybody, go to the farmer's market, find Dawn there, or call For the Love of Paws, or stop by on Mosier Avenue. Better to call with the COVID right now, though.
Yeah.
So thank you for tuning in today. We sure appreciate it. We'll be back next Thursday from 4 to 5. This is Shannon Sebastian with your Q, sponsored by Premier Insurance on News Radio 1240 KQEN.